In the first talk, I looked at a story from the beginning of Matthew chapter 9, and now we'll continue reading chapter 9 of Matthew with verses 9 to 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he sat at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." I think it reflects some of the humility of Matthew that he devotes only a single verse to describe his own call. Yet from this one verse, there is still much to meditate on. You may recall how Pope Francis made headlines by granting an interview that was published in America Magazine about 6 months after he was elected. That interview began with the question, "Who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio?" The Pope paused in silence before answering. "I do not know what might be the most fitting description. I am a sinner. This is the most accurate definition. It is not a figure of speech or literary genre. I am a sinner. Yes, perhaps I can say that I'm a bit astute, that I can adapt to circumstances, but it is also true that I'm a bit naive. But the best summary, the one that comes more from the inside, and I feel most true, is this: I am a sinner whom the Lord has looked upon." And he repeats, "I am one who is looked upon by the Lord." I always felt my motto, "Miserando atque eliendo," by having mercy and by choosing him, was very true for me. The Pope's motto is taken from homilies of Bede the Venerable, who writes in the 8th century in his commentary on this gospel story of the call of Matthew. Bede says, "Jesus saw a tax collector, and since he looked at him with feelings of love and choosing him, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" The Pope adds, "I think the Latin gerund miserando is impossible to translate. I like to translate it with another gerund that does not exist, misericordiando, mercying." The Pope continued, "When I had to come to Rome, I would stay in the neighborhood of the Via della Scrofa, and there I often visited the church of St. Louis of France, and I went there to contemplate the painting of the Calling of St. Matthew by Caravaggio." This famous painting shows Matthew sitting at a table surrounded by several men counting money. And Jesus, off to the side, stretches out his arm and points. It's actually the same well-known image of the finger of God Michelangelo painted on the Sistine Chapel ceiling in the scene of creation. And the amazed Matthew is shown with his whole body recoiling while his eyes are being opened to the light of Christ. And Caravaggio captures that moment when his entire world is turned upside down in shock and awe that Jesus would call him. I also put a small little copy of that picture on the table so you can see that if you're not familiar with it. The Pope continues, "That finger of Jesus pointing at Matthew, that's me. I feel like him, like Matthew." Here it seems the Pope has finally found the image that he was looking for. "It is the gesture of Matthew that strikes me. He holds on to his money as if to say, 'No, not me. This money is mine. Here, this is me, a sinner on whom the Lord has turned his gaze.' And this is what I said when they asked me if I would accept my election as pontiff. The Pope said, 'I am a sinner, but I trust in the infinite mercy and patience of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I accept in a spirit of penance.'" This realization of God's abundant mercy played a fundamental role in the story of the Pope's own vocation to the priesthood. As a teenager, Jorge Bergoglio had a fairly typical upbringing. He was a practicing Catholic and enjoyed many of the things that his peers enjoyed at the time: basketball, opera, cinema, and tango. But at the age of 17, he received a call that was far from ordinary, one that would change his life forever. One day on break from school, while Jorge was planning to spend some time with friends, he suddenly decided to stop at the parish church, which is not something he normally did. Upon arriving there at his local parish, he noticed a priest there he didn't know and felt an indescribable urge to have the priest hear his confession. Following the confession, Jorge was overwhelmed by the nature of God's mercy and tenderness. This feeling of love and mercy, combined with the powerful sense of God's providence in the course of events, that he just happened to stop and there just happened to be this priest here, moved him very deeply. He decided not to meet up with his friends that day and instead spent the rest of the day contemplating what had happened. It was then that he decided he was called to the priesthood. On the vigil of Pentecost after his election as Pope, Francis described this experience to the people gathered in St. Peter's Square. "For me, this was an experience of encounter. I found that someone was waiting for me. Yet I did not know what happened. I can't remember. I do not know why that particular priest was there whom I did not know, or why I felt this desire to confess. But the truth is that someone was waiting for me. He had been waiting for me for some time. After making my confession, I felt something had changed. I was not the same. I had heard something like a voice or a call. I was convinced that I should become a priest." This experience of faith is important. We say we must seek God, go to Him and ask forgiveness. But when we go, He is waiting for us. He is there first. In Spanish, we have a word that explains this well, primeriar. The Lord always gets there before us. He gets there first. He is waiting for us. To find someone waiting for you is truly a great grace. You go to Him as a sinner, but He is waiting to forgive you. To encounter Jesus is precisely to encounter this one who has been waiting for us, wanting to share with us His mercy. It's a meeting with the one who calls us precisely to share His merciful love. When Jesus asks His disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" it is to proclaim that He is the long-awaited Messiah, the one who comes to set captives free, the Son of the living God, who is slow to anger and abounding in merciful love. He is the one who awaits us with the love of the prodigal Father, who wants to restore us to communion with Him and others. The day Jorge Bergoglio experienced the Lord's mercy at age 17 was September 21st, the feast of St. Matthew. During his recollection of the event, Pope Francis compared his encounter with the priest to Jesus' experience with St. Matthew when our Lord looked at him with love and said, "Follow me." As the Pope said in his interview, his motto is very difficult to translate: "Miserando atque eliendo." Some have suggested lowly and chosen, but it's much more than that. It conveys the manner of how something is being done. We ask when reading about what Christ did, how did Jesus come to pick Matthew? He called Matthew by first having compassion, and second by making a decision. To use the Pope's language, he called Matthew by mercying and choosing, miserando atque eliendo. Of course, we know the 12 apostles were not perfect men. Jesus did not call them because they were already holy, complete, and perfect. was so that he might help them to become so, so that they might thereby transform history. Matthew, because he collected taxes for the Romans who occupied their land, would have been despised and treated as an outcast by his fellow Jews. However, fortunately for us, as a tax collector, he would have been literate both in Aramaic and Greek, and thus a perfect candidate to later write his gospel. To ponder this calling of Matthew a little further, Matthew is generally considered to have been a successful businessman in the prime of life, who worked years for his clothes, position, and riches. Pope Emeritus Benedict, in his catechesis on St. Matthew, says, "For him it meant leaving everything, especially what guaranteed him a reliable source of income, even if it was often unfair and dishonorable. For Matthew to get up from that table meant there would be no going back." He offers a powerful example for us of how difficult it is to give up worldly vanities and what it truly means to follow Christ. Allow me to read the full quote of Venerable Bede's homily from which Pope Francis took his motto. "Jesus therefore saw the tax collector, and because he saw him by having mercy and by choosing, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Follow means to imitate. Follow, he said, not so much in the pacing of feet as in the carrying out of morals. For whoever says that he remains in Christ ought himself to walk as he walked, which means not striving for earthly things, not eagerly pursuing fallen riches, fleeting honors, willingly embracing all the contempt of the world for the sake of heavenly glory, being advantageous to all, loving, occasioning injuries for no one, but patiently suffering those caused to oneself, but seeking always the glory of the Creator, as often as one can raise himself up toward the love of those things which are above. This is what acting in that way is. This is following in the footsteps of Christ." Anyone who desires to be with Jesus has to answer that call to follow him. Jesus' true disciples are those who follow him in a very permanent way. This isn't like the crowds who came to hear Jesus on occasion. There's a permanency that we must keep on following him. When the apostles were called by Jesus, they had a very precise role. They were to spend time with our Lord, to be with Jesus, to learn from him. Then, after our Lord's ascension, this call to follow him continues as they were sent out to also share the gift they had received with others. This is what the sublime and simple fact of baptism means. Every Christian has a vocation, a divine calling to be a full disciple of our Lord. And passages like the call of Matthew remind us of what this commitment entails. Following Christ means we should make ourselves totally available to him. Whatever sacrifice he asks of us, we should make. The call to follow Christ means staying with him, not following behind. We either follow him or lose him. Indeed, the most basic definition of a Christian is this: a Christian is one who believes in Jesus Christ. This is a faith received at baptism. And one is duty-bound, then, to serve Jesus Christ. One who believes in Jesus Christ and serves him. Through prayer and friendship with the Lord, each one of us should strive to discover the demands that this service involves in our own particular vocation and state in life. Obviously, some, like Matthew, have an additional further call besides just their baptism. For example, to serve the Lord in the priesthood or religious life. But for all the baptized, we should know we are called. And this was not our initiative. The Lord looked upon each one of us with mercy and chose us, just like Matthew. Jesus calls, and each and every one of us must personally respond to this call by our own free decision. I was speaking about that interview Pope had about 6 months after his election. Some of you may know, he just actually last month released his first book written as Pope, entitled The Name of God is Mercy, in which it's also kind of an interview, a conversation that he had with the Vatican reporter Andrea Tornielli. So while there's been lots of books published with our collections of Pope Francis's speeches, homilies, and other talks, this is one Francis actually published himself. I'll just tell one small anecdote from the book. It's when the Pope spoke about visiting a prison in Bolivia. Actually, I couldn't help but be reminded when he told this of a joke told by Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Some of you may have heard that Bishop Sheen loved to talk to prisoners, not just because they're a captive audience, but because the first thing that Bishop Sheen would tell those in jail is that there's only one difference between you and me. You got caught. Well, Pope Francis basically tells the prisoners there's no difference between them and him. That all of us are sinners. He says, every time I go through the gates into a prison to celebrate Mass or for a visit, I always think, why them and not me? I should be here. I deserve to be here. Their fault could have been mine. I do not feel superior to the people who stand before me. And so I repeat and pray, why him and not me? It might seem shocking, but I derive consolation from Peter. He betrayed Jesus. Yet even so, he was chosen. Pope Francis has called for this year of mercy so that each of us can realize and say on a deeper level with him, I am a sinner. Because I think it's so easy to go through life pointing the finger at others, to see how there are so many things wrong with our society, and to see the many faults in our neighbor. But Pope Francis, in calling for this year, wants to remind us that before we can start pointing the finger and judge anyone else's sin, we have to first point it at ourselves. To look at and judge ourselves. Not so that we become just inward focused or depressed by what we find there, but by doing so in humility, it becomes an opportunity for us to recognize our sin and then experience the mercy of God. After the quote I mentioned this morning, which Pope Francis repeated in his most recent book, God never tires of forgiving us, but we tire of asking for forgiveness. I think one of my favorite and most powerful quotes of Pope Francis comes from Misericordiae Vultus, which is the bull of indiction in which he called for or instituted the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy. In a section talking about how God's mercy is not opposed to justice, but rather expresses God's way of reaching out to the sinner, offering him a new chance to look at himself, convert, and be believed, Pope Francis quotes St. Augustine saying, it is easier for God to hold back anger than mercy. And so it is. God's anger lasts but a moment, but his mercy endures forever. I could meditate on that a long time. It is easier for God to hold back his anger than his mercy. He does not withhold his mercy from us. And so for Pope Francis, renewal in the church is not some kind of reforming of the bureaucracies over in the Vatican. No, for him, renewal in the church means that each one of us learn more deeply how to think like Christ, how to teach like Christ, how to care and show mercy as Christ did. Renewal in the church begins with each one of us here in this room. When we experience his mercy ourselves and show that mercy to others, becoming more like Jesus Christ, when we live the call to personal holiness, people will be attracted to and find a renewed church of integrity, one that lives the gospel it proclaims. This is the reform that Pope Francis wants, and this is, I'm sure, one of the reasons behind his calling for the year of mercy. He prays that each one of us would be like Matthew, to know how the Lord has loved us and chosen us and called us to answer and respond to those words, "Follow me." To Jesus Christ be all glory and honor forever. Amen.